Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Can you imagine Michigan being split in two, that a trip over the Mackinac Bridge would mean going to another state? It's been considered in the past, and very recently, a Marquette County Commissioner brought up the idea of having the Upper Peninsula become the 51st state. What's behind this desire, and what has been the history of this issue? To talk about it, I'm joined by Jim Carter. He's the author of the book Superior, A State for the North Country, which is a historical account of this issue. Jim, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, I'm glad to have been invited.
Now, you yourself live in the UP. Where exactly do you live up there?
I live in Marquette.
Does it sometimes feel that you're in a different state than those of us that live down here in the lower part of the Lower Peninsula?
Well, there is a difference. I lived in Grand Rapids for quite a while, and in Muskegon, and so I'm kind of familiar with the Lower Peninsula. The Upper Peninsula, of course, is not only separate geographically, but which is quite different topography and climate, as you well know. But it is a little different ethnically, and some of our economic ties are closer to Wisconsin and Minnesota than they are to the Lower Peninsula. If you'd consider that we're closer to Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, St. Paul than we are to Detroit, at least from this part of the Upper Peninsula.
How often, just in talking to your community members, has this idea of being separate from the Lower Peninsula, how often does that idea come up?
Well, it's got a history. It goes way back to the 1820s before Michigan was a state, and there was quite almost a successful movement to make a state out of what is now Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula, and portions of Minnesota that are on the Lake Superior watershed. And they were going to call it Huronia, like after Lake Huron, but Huronia, the Huron Indians.
When you look at a map, it geographically, it looks like the Upper Peninsula really should be part of Wisconsin. How did it end up being part of Michigan instead?
Well, I think that the story is, to some extent, quite well known, but when Michigan applied to become a state in 1836, there was a controversy over the strip of land. They called this Toledo Strip. It would include the city of Toledo. The original survey of the southern boundary of the Michigan Territory included the city of Toledo. And when Michigan applied in 1836, of course, Ohio had already been a state for a number of years, had a lot of clout in Congress, and they wanted that strip called the Toledo Strip. So they had more influence, and the Michigan's admission to the Union was delayed until that was settled. And we even had a little skirmish between the state militia, the territorial militia and the Ohio State Militia. Nobody got killed or even shot, I don't think, but it was some kind of friction there. But it was settled, and so in 1837, Michigan became a state, and to compensate Michigan for the loss of the Toledo Strip, it was given the Upper Peninsula.
So how soon after Michigan did become a state with the Upper Peninsula included, did efforts begin to potentially split that up?
No, not right away. And there were very few people up here. There probably were not many more than 1,000 people in the upper, white people in the Upper Peninsula, or I should say non-Native Americans, and then there probably was several thousand Native Americans, but the population was just negligible, and it was mainly fur trade that was the main industry. And but then when the mining, when iron ore was discovered, and copper, well, the copper was in about the same time, in the late 1840s, mid-1840s, in the copper country, and then the iron was discovered in 1844, just west of Marquette at Negaunee, and the mining started. Some real revenue then was being derived from the mines through taxation to the state government. And the issue that arose was that the Upper Peninsula was not getting a fair return on this tax money being derived from mining. And it's almost exactly the same issue that the county commissioner brought up here just a few weeks ago.
By the way, I'm talking to Jim Carter. He's the author of the book Superior, A State for the North Country. Jim, is that a continued sentiment that the state of Michigan does not invest enough resources in the Upper Peninsula and the infrastructure up there?
Well, it really hasn't been for quite a long time. It was, in the 1850s, and there was another. It became a national issue then. It wasn't just within the state of Michigan. But Horace Greeley, who a lot of people will recognize, was a leading abolitionist, and he was the editor of the New York Herald Tribune. He was one of the biggest champions of making the Upper Peninsula a separate state, and it would come in the Union as a free state. And, of course, at that time, any new states, they had to be balanced. When they came in, they had to be a slave state and a free state at the same time. And so that was a real serious issue, and it had a lot of national attention. And then we had a couple of, after the Civil War, we had a couple of territorial conventions up here that were aimed at making the Upper Peninsula a separate state.
Well, wasn't population, though, an issue? I mean, was there just not enough residents in the Upper Peninsula?
No, the population grew quite rapidly after the mining started, and then the lumbering was a little bit later than the Lower Peninsula, but a lot of the loggers in Lower Michigan got pretty much completed their cut. They moved up here. So there was quite a boom in logging and as well as mining. But the one of the things, too, was the transportation was so poor, the connection. Some of our early legislators in the winter had to go by dog sled down to Lansing, or they had to, when we did get a railroad connection coming up from Chicago to Marquette, then they could take the train, but they'd have to go by way of Chicago and then come back up. That slowly improved, and by the 1880s, Michigan's two peninsulas were connected by railroad. And so that connection, and by telegraph, and so the connections improved.
The building of the Mackinac Bridge, how would you say that impacted the connection, the relationship that was occurring between the Upper and Lower Peninsula?
Well, symbolically, it was a great thing. And for convenience, it was a great thing. But I don't think that there was a great surge of economic benefit, because of the bridge. We had a real good ferry service prior to that. And we had a lot of tourists prior to that. And we have a lot, of course, after the bridge was built. It was a great thing. Symbolically, it really united the two peninsulas, mm-hmm. and everybody was for it, I think, on both sides of the bridge. It was a very good thing, but I don't think it was quite the blessing that we thought it was going to be.
You say in the 70s there was another concerted effort on this statehood?
Yeah, there was. It was Dominic Jacobetti at the time was the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, and very powerful in Lansing, as anybody in that position would be. He had been there 40-some years in the legislature, set a record for anybody being in the legislature that long. And then we had several others that had been in quite a long time, and maybe that's why they voted in term limits. But at any rate, there was some pretty widespread interest in the Upper Peninsula and adjoining areas of northeastern Wisconsin in the 1970s.
What would you say are the major issues and concerns that those of you that live in the Upper Peninsula now have as compared to those of us down here?
Well, first of all, my book was just a history of the movement. I don't take a issue or sides on either side of the issue. We always feel very strong being part of Michigan. A lot of us do. The oldest town in Michigan is the Sault Ste. Marie, 1668. The second oldest town in Michigan is St. Ignace, 1671. Detroit didn't come along till 1703, so We've been part of Michigan a long time, Michigan Territory, at least part of the Upper Peninsula. And they held, in the 1970s, several counties held advisory votes on the issue. It didn't win in either place. So it's we're kind of independent-minded up here. We like to think we're independent. But when a push comes to shove, I think we're happy to be part of Michigan. This is a great state. We've received a lot of benefits, and it's just good. And I can't see Upper Peninsula ever becoming a separate state. We couldn't afford it to begin with.
I've been talking to Jim Carter up in Marquette. He's the author of the book Superior, A State for the North Country. Jim, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.